we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to a wonderful Wednesday. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Bob Arthurs, and you're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast here on WMIE 91.5 FM. If you happen to be listening at 10:30 a.m., you might be catching us on WWBC 1510 a.m., signal that goes a long, long ways. And so no matter where you are listening today, Brevard County or South Florida or the Bahamas, or if you're listening on the internet, thank you for joining us today. We are glad that you tuned in. We are also part of the drive home here in Brevard County, 5 o'clock. You can catch this broadcast again, and we pray that it will be a blessing to you. Tomorrow, we will be having our vintage service. Actually, not tomorrow. It's today. It's a good thing I caught that. Sometimes I forget what day it is. And the other day, it's about a week ago, we went to dinner with my son and daughter-in-law, and we were over near their house, and my wife was helping them with some insurance stuff, and walked up to a restaurant, and it said closed Mondays, and oh man. And then my son said, Dad, it's Tuesday. And it was like, oh, okay, that's good. And sometimes you just forget what day it is. But anyway, today at 11 o'clock we have our vintage service and our sanctuary. There's plenty of seats available, and we'd love to have you come and join us, be a part of that. We sing some hymns and some old choruses, worship the Lord, pray for miracles, preach the word, and I be sure and pray for everybody when we leave. And so if that would be a blessing to you, we would like to encourage you to come and be a part of that. Like I said, we have plenty of seats available. We do want to say thank you to Dennis and Carla at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electrical in Rockledge, Florida. They go all throughout the county taking care of air conditioning needs. You probably don't have much need of a heater right now, although depending upon how warm you keep your house, you might fire it up from time to time. I know some folks that keep theirs up in the mid-80s and stuff like that. If you need any work done on your AC or heating unit anywhere in the county, or if you have an electrical problem, they take care of that for us at Merritt Assembly. And their phone number, write this number down. If you've had them come out and service your equipment before, make sure you have this number down. That old number takes you to a different company. And so we want you to write this number down. It's 632-9538, 632-9538. That number gets you to Dennis and Carla, and they will take good care of you. And so we want to thank them for helping us get the word throughout the county. So we're going to go back today to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11, 12, and 13. That's where we're going to read today. Also want to remind you about our kids' ministry tonight. And last Wednesday, I found this out on Thursday. Last Wednesday, one of the ladies from the church was bringing a young man to church, and he said, when I grow up and have kids, will you bring my kids to your church? You know, he comes weekly, but in his mind, it's still her church. And she said, well, when you grow up, you can bring them to our church together. But anyway, our children's ministry is making an impact in kids' lives. This person that was relaying this information to me was describing how people in her class were describing what they were being taught in other classes. And so we are sowing the word of God into young people so that word will take root and they will become mighty men and women of God. So that's what's going on at Merritt Assembly of God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, shall we? Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So today we're going to be talking about is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That word discerner in the Greek is the word from which we get our word critic. And there are many people who have a critical spirit. We often talk about that in a negative sense. In other words, if you want to find out what they perceive is wrong, all you got to do is ask them, because they will let you know. Sometimes you don't even have to ask. They will just tell you anyway. And, you know, I am all for positive feedback. Constructive criticism. I'm all for that. But when we are talking about criticism that beats people down instead of building them up, then I have a completely different mindset. Now, here is a social observation of mine. You can take this or you can leave it, but oftentimes I have found that the people who are most critical of other people cannot tolerate anybody criticizing them. And they just expect that other people are going to suck it up and deal with it whenever they are blasting them. But if anybody looks cross-eyed at them, then they're offended and the whole world has come crashing down. I am of that old school. This is not a biblical principle, but it is simply this. If you can dish it out, you had better be able to take it. And so if I like to deal with people how they want to be dealt with. And the Bible says that with whatsoever measure you mete out, that's the measure that will be used on your behalf. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. That, and it says, shall men give into your bosom. And so it's not just talking about the giving of finances there. It's talking about how you treat people. And if you treat people with a negative, critical spirit, you can take it to the bank that you are going to get a greater quantity of people pouring negative criticism into your life. And so that's the world's method of criticism. The world's method is to tear people down to make themselves feel better about themselves. It's to build themselves up by tearing other people down. And that is not what is going on here. This is positive criticism. This is where God is going to critique by his word, because that's what it is we're talking about here. We're talking about the word of God that is alive and powerful and sharp and piercing every aspect of our nature, of our entire being. And he said, and it is a discerner, the word of God, that living, active, powerful word, it will provide a positive critique of your thoughts and your intents. So I have this saying that I came up with, and that is this: not every thought that comes into my mind is intended to come out of my mouth. I believe that we need to have control over our tongue. And so there are some people who think that if they think it, if they perceive it, that it is therefore correct. There are people who have no experience, no expertise, no awareness of an industry or a topic, and yet their thoughts are supposed to outweigh the thoughts of every expert in the field with years and years of experience, just because those people thought it. You see, there are a large number of people that are of the mindset that every discussion that they have must end with, you are right. You are right. And so I want you to know that it is what Bob thinks about the situation doesn't matter. What you think about the situation is irrelevant. What really matters is this. What does the Word of God say? Because it will critique our thoughts for us. It will reveal whether our thoughts are in line with God's Word or whether they're in contrast to God's Word. And I don't care who you are or where you come from or what you're embracing, if your thoughts are contrary to God's Word, then you are not thinking godly thoughts, you are thinking like the devil does. That may not sound very popular, but it's the reality. You're either going to think like God or you're going to think like the devil. There's a story in the scriptures. It absolutely bewilders me. Jesus said, look, I've got to go to the other side of the sea. And when he gets over there, there's a demon-possessed man who has terrorized that community. No man could bind him. He lived out in the tombs. He cut himself. He was filled with demonic spirits. And no one could subdue him. And the demons are trying to impress, our name is Legion, for we are many. Jesus doesn't care about that. He's the Almighty God. He's all powerful. He could name every one of you. You can name yourself as a group, and he can name you as individuals. And so this man comes and he throws him, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? And he it probably bewildered the demons inside because they thought that they had this guy. Listen, Jesus had, the scripture says he must needs go through Samaria. He had to go to the other side of the sea. Anyway, this demon-possessed man, he ends up getting delivered of his demons. The demons go rushing into a herd of swine, which was supposed to be unclean in Israel, not supposed to have been there, and they end up rushing off a cliff and killing themselves, and the people go running off to tell the people of the community who weren't there what had happened, and they come to Jesus, and they beg him to leave their territory, and when they got there, they found the man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. They saw him completely revolutionized and transformed by in just a short time in the presence of God. Now, I want you to know I'm thankful for all sorts of 12-step programs and all of that sort of stuff. I think that all of those have some benefit. But I also want to declare to you today that Jesus is the one who sets captives free, and sometimes he only needs one step, not 12. And so I know people who are living proof that Jesus can transform lives, that what they used to be addicted to no longer not only has a hold on them, it no longer has a hold on them, but it doesn't even have any appeal to them. You see, God came and completely transformed the way that they think. And so now everything that they think is evaluated in line of God's Word. My question for you today is quite simply this. Do you subject your thoughts to the evaluation of the Word of God? Or do you just embrace them because they're your thoughts? Because we are supposed to judge every spirit by the Word of God. Whenever there's a message or an interpretation in tongues or both or a prophetic word, all of that is to be evaluated in the light of God's Word. What does it line up with God's Word or does it not line up with God's Word? If it doesn't, get it out of here, rebuke it, set it down. We need what God's Word. We need to do that with our relationships. We need to do that. Now, I'll be honest with you. It might not sound like it, and it's a little more tame than it was. My primary gifting is mercy. I like people to get along with me. I like to show mercy. It is what I choose to do. And several years ago, there was a person teaching one of our Sunday school class, and he said, sometimes when mercy is your primary gifting, that the most merciful thing that you can do is get out of the way so that exhortation can come in and have their perfect work. Okay? And so what I try and do is I try and show mercy. And there have been a few occasions where I was praying and God would ask me something like this. This is an actual prayer conversation with God. God, I need you to help me with this situation. And he said, well, how many times have you been dealing with this? And I said, well, God, we've been dealing with this a lot. Now this goes back 10, 20 years. It's a long time ago. God, we've dealt with this quite a bit. And he said, how's that working out for you? I said, well, there's been no change. There's been no transformation. There's been nothing that positive that has come out of this. And his response was, well, the scripture says that wisdom is proved right by all her actions. And so if you are still not getting the results that I have promised in my word, then don't you think that it is time that you do things my way instead of your way? And it was, I want you to know, it wasn't a lot of fun. It wasn't a lot of fun because we were dealing with people. And remember, I like to deal with people with mercy. I like to be an easygoing, happy-go-lucky type guy. I tell people, if you want to see that change, you either mess with my wife, mess with my kids, or mess with the church, and you will see that my demeanor can become very serious and very intense very quickly. And I've got another one, and that is, don't mess with my pastor. So I believe that I should sow those seeds because I don't want people messing with me. I'll be honest with you. I don't like it. I can deal with them messing with me better than I can with my wife or my kids. But, I still don't like, you know, nobody likes to be, you know, messed with just for the sake of being messed with. And so what God did is he told me, he said, this is what you need to do in this situation. And I did it. And it was very difficult. It was adverse to my personality. But I want you to know that God moved in that situation and brought about not only transformation, but healing in that relationship that was beyond what I could ever have dreamed or imagined. There was another situation that I dealt with at one point in time, and it was very, very serious. And the person that I was having the conversation with, they had their mindset when they came into a meeting, and I had the same mindset, only from the pastor's perspective in the meeting. And in that meeting, I shared, you know, I believe this. I believe that God hates divorce. I believe that he hates divorce, not just amongst married couples, but that he hates divorce among Christians, that he hates acrimonious, painful departures. And, so that person and I, we had a conversation. We brought our emotions and our thoughts under control of God's word. There was a tremendous healing in that relationship. There was some wisdom that was imparted from me to this other person. And they called me the next day and they said, Pastor, I just want to thank you so much for meeting with me last night because you saved my marriage. Now, we didn't even know that the marriage was on the table at that point in time. But because we brought the thing under subjection of God's word and dealt with it, not from an emotional basis, not even from a positional basis or anything like that, God brought healing in that situation. The relationship was restored. A little bit later, God opened up another door for them. We were able to send them out with blessing, and they came back years later and became a blessing to a family in the church as well. They were visiting the area, and they just wanted to bless someone from the church. And they said, Pastor, anybody you want to bless, we just want to bless them. And so I believe that we need to allow God to be the one who gives us a positive critique of our thought life. And it also says this, and the intents of the heart. Now, there's a lot of people that are going through life hoping that something good will happen to them. I believe we are supposed to be going through life on an intentional path. I'm not one that just decides that I'm going to just drive around in whichever way the tires on the car move, that's the direction I'm going to go. I normally am very intentional. I've got a path that I'm going, and there's a reason why I'm going that path. And so here it is talking about the intents of the heart. That is something that you and I have a very difficult time discerning as to what people's intentions are, because it can appear kind on the outside and be toxic on the inside, or it can appear to be mean on the outside, and actually it is the faithful wound of a friend. So we need the Word of God to be the judge of the intents of the heart. You and I are not qualified nor skilled enough to judge not only someone else's heart, but to judge our heart. You see, the Bible says that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all else. In other words, our heart will lie to us, and it will make us think that we are doing something for one reason, and in actuality, we are doing it for another reason. Now, here's the bare bones of it all, and that is this: the Word of God, Jesus Christ, the living Word, He knows what we're thinking. He knows why we do what we do. You're not going to be able to bluff your way through that. My very first venture into youth ministry, there was a person, I saw them do something. I called them. They came to church because their mama made them come to church. And I caught them. I told them, I said, I saw you do this. And he said, no, you didn't. And just sat there and tried to bluff his way through getting caught in the act of doing something. I a little bit later, we were going to youth convention. I put those kids in the room, and I got educated. You know, I went to school, and I got a degree. I went into the ministry, and I got educated. And that is, I put myself in the room with the toughest kids to deal with. Let them go up to the room, and don't you know, they were already doing a bunch of stuff up there in the room that it's like, okay, listen, guys, y'all, that's not going to fly. And so we can either straighten this out now, or I can call your parents and they can come get you right now. People may try and bluff their way through the intention of what they are doing, but God knows the heart of the matter. So let me ask you today, we're on a Wednesday. All of us have a lot of days in our rearview mirror, and there's not really anything we can do about those other than repent of them and ask the Lord to forgive us. But I want to ask you right now, is the Word of God a driving force in your life that it is what creates the intention? It's what creates in you the intentional effort you put forth to do something. Because I believe that we do need to be intentional about it. Our heart is like a river. It will choose the path of least resistance many, many times. That's why when people talk about falling in love and falling out of love, it's because their heart is deceitfully wicked above all else. Jesus said that divorce, it happened, it was permitted because God knew of their hardened hearts. It may not mean that both parties had a hardened heart, but one of the parties' heart was evidently hardened to the point, instead of being a servant in the relationship, they became selfish in the relationship, and because they did not allow their heart to change. Now, here's the thing. Then the relationship. Here's the thing. God specializes in taking out hardened, stony hearts and creating tender, functional hearts. He is the first cardiologist. The it's mentioned in the Old Testament, I will give you a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone. God wants to do that. And so if your heart has been used to manipulating people, listen, manipulation takes place not only outside in our community, but manipulation can take place inside the body of Christ as well. We don't need that. We don't need that. We want God to touch people's hearts. We want God to give the intentions of the heart, not for us to manipulate it. That's why when we receive an offering, I'm not there to strong arm people into giving. If you do not want to live under an open heaven, who am I to tell you that you've got to? If you do not want the devourer rebuked on your sake, you know, I don't think it's a wise choice, but have at it. But as for me and my house, we have decided that we are intentional. Listen, I wasn't always this way. My wife is the one God used to open my understanding to the blessing of tithing. And that was before we got married. We realize now we can't live without. I am convinced of two things. I do not believe it is in anybody's best interest to not be part of a local church. I was persuaded of that when I wasn't a pastor. I believe you need a local church. And if you are part of a local church, I believe this as well. You need to be in control of your money, not your money in control of you. You need to be a faithful steward of the resources that God has given to you. So today, I just want to encourage you to begin an intentional journey and say, God, on this Wednesday, April the 20th, would you be the one that critiques my thoughts and my heart's intentions? And if there's anything out of line, would you bring it into correction? I tell you, life is going to be better when we are critiqued by God's word. Father, we want to thank you and praise you. God, I want to thank you. You do not sentence us to a life with a defective heart or wrong thoughts. But Lord, by your word, you can come and teach us your ways, teach us a better way, and you can make corrections. Lord, give each of us a tender heart today to you in Jesus' name. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.